I just told you guys I'm awful at Spanish. Hello, welcome to Animation Station, episode 6.
6, yes.
Yep, we're on 6 now.
Yep. Wow. I am Tracy.
And I'm Robbie.
So, today we've got a kind of an interesting one, I would say. Or, like, this one is particularly odd for us because we both went into it completely blind. And that I found an internet article about obscure, underrated cartoons, and this is one that happened to pop up.
Yeah, and these are, we're talking, like, highly obscure.
We're talking, like, Cannes Film Festival. No, it was,
it was only shown at, like, film festivals.
Oh, so. Yeah, I think it was either, like, some film festival, or it must have been Annecy or something.
Yeah.
I think this one came out in 2013?
Yes, right? I believe so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Though I think, on Rotten Tomatoes, it was 2015, so I think it may have had, like, a brief...
Or it might have been...
highly limited release. Anywho, the movie is called The Boy in the World.
Yes.
In English. I could not begin to pronounce it in the native Portuguese.
We can try to pronounce it, but I'd rather not mangle anyone that happens to speak Portuguese. Their mother tongue, so I don't know if we'll do that. But yeah, so it's a 2013 Brazilian animated film by Ale Abreu.
Yes.
So it's a very colorful, very, almost like, some of the visuals kind of reminded me of, either Eric Carle drawings, or just like the main character, Kuka, is drawn like a sketch that a little kid would make.
Most of the characters that he meets are also kind of
similar later on.
Which, we never really figured out that one.
What? For, like, why they're, like, the style behind why they're drawn?
No. Just, like,
Because I'm not terribly familiar with what the rest of his work, like, since we just kind of went into blind, but...
No. I mean, this is jumping ahead quite a bit, but near the end of the film, I got the sense that all the other characters he meets, like the Drifter and the factory worker, are either him in the future or... reflections of his future.
Yeah, that was kind of ambiguous.
Yeah, it was kind of weirdly ambiguous, but...
That, or it was to the point where, I don't know, like, maybe we were trying to get things kind of sorted out, and it just didn't seem terribly, like, straightforward with what was happening.
Something. I
could very well have just missed a part of it.
Yeah, there's definitely parts of that are sort of vague.
Yeah.
But so we should probably talk about what actually happens in this movie.
Yeah, let's do. It's a fairly simple story, but it just, the way that it's portrayed, it gets kind of confusing.
Yeah. So the first thing about this movie is there is no actual dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
There are, like, some voices, but apparently it was that they recorded it and then played it backwards to create the language.
Yeah, so it was originally recorded in Portuguese, and they had just reversed the track so that it would sound like this nonsensical kind of gibberish.
Right, so nothing is actually said, and obviously there's no subtitles, so...
I wonder, though, if you actually reversed the language itself, like, if it was the actual words of what they... it didn't seem like they would put subtitles on it, but if it was, like, the same action that was dictating, like, this is what we're going to do now, and this is where we're going, it's like, don't tell your father about that, or what have you.
Yeah.
So, I'd like to try that, but I don't know if we'll actually bother doing it. No, I won't.
It's all visual. It's all visual storytelling.
Mm-hmm. But it's great because that makes it even more available for a worldwide audience because you know you have a pretty good idea exactly what's going on.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good.
It's almost like a moving picture book, really. But this picture book veers into some
kind of dark territory.
Not quite nightmarish, but it's There's some pretty heavy stuff in here, especially for a movie that's it's somewhat marketed to kids, I guess. But it's approachable for kids.
Yeah, absolutely. But
it's not marketed in, like, say, how a DreamWorks or Disney movie would be.
Right.
Yeah. Which is good, thank God.
Right. So, anyways, the movie is is a little boy named Kuka.
Cuca.
Yeah.
It's either Kuka or Kuka or whatever.
Yeah, I'm just gonna go with Kuka.
We'll go with that.
His father leaves their little sort of, failing farm out in, like, the boonies.
Yeah, look, it seems like he's been trying to grow stuff for years, but, like, it could just be that the soil that they're out by is just not fertile enough, or he's just, maybe he managed to, like, or they're living in a plot of land that is not particularly lush or can really accommodate what they're trying to grow.
Right, so he leaves, presumably to go to the city and try and find a job so that, you know, their family can, you know, continue to eat.
Yes, they also live directly adjacent to a train stop. Which is weird, considering that they're the only people out there in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, well, that's definitely how it feels at the beginning, but then at the end of the movie,
but isn't that just time marching on that, like, maybe, like, yeah, eventually then, like, how it used to be more of, like, a rural municipality or something.
Yeah.
And then eventually it's just like, oh, now there's more people living out here.
Yeah, that's true. I mean...
Yeah, the portrait of the city that they present is not a very kind one.
No. Okay, well,
hardly.
So his father leaves, and then Kuka...
he's very attached to his father.
Yeah, misses his father, and so he goes to try and find him, and kind of goes through a series of misadventures, which are increasingly sort of...
chaotic, really. I mean, like, it's kind of disarming, like, the amount of stuff that he goes through.
Yeah. So he ends up with, like, what appear to be cotton pickers.
Mm-hmm.
Migrant...
Yeah, like, they're migrant workers working at a cotton field. Like, these enormous cotton fields.
Yeah.
Like, large enough to accommodate, I don't even know how many semi-trucks, but, but they've got a very, it's just, like, this entire network of migrant farmers.
Right. So, he ends up there, and then he ends up leaving the cotton field with his drifter friend.
Yeah, one of the migrant workers, like, I guess he finds him because Kuka had gone to wait on the train tracks trying to find his father. Eventually he either got swept away or something happened to the point where he was transported into this kind of little field and woke up in the migrant worker's, his tent, his little,
lean-to, really?
Yeah, basically.
So then they, leave.
With his very cute dog.
Yeah.
And something of, like, a rickshaw that he uses to transport stuff. Or, like, it's more like a cart, I guess.
Yeah, it's a very large cart.
Yeah. That looks like it was intended for a horse, but he happens to be pulling it.
Yeah.
So, with Kuka and the rest of his tent stuff in it, so.
Right.
It's gotta be strong.
So, he leaves the cotton fields and ends up...
I think he's on a road, isn't he?
Yeah, he wanders out, finds himself on a road, and there's, like, this sort of scene there.
He's kind of... Does he kind of freak out a little bit in that,
he's not accustomed to
seeing cars.
Yeah,
really.
And he almost gets hit. There were, like, several semis, I think, full of cotton. Flying by what I assume was probably a highway, and then he sooner or later finds himself at a factory, right, where they're processing the cotton.
Yeah, like, he, through a series of, like, twists and turns, and him getting into a, well, there was a car at one point. No, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, like, remember when he was on the back of the cart with the migrant worker when he was getting pulled, and then eventually there's a big rain that happens to the point where it floods out, like, the entire frame, and then he gets separated from them once he winds up back in the
city. I thought that was when he washes up on the highway.
Well, I don't know.
So as you,
I thought that's what it was. I'm sorry. Like, I.
It's a little surreal, and its transitions are so, like...
They're so well done.
They're so beautiful and, like, sort of, like, interestingly done, like she was saying. There's a scene after they're leaving the cotton fields where he's going up and down these hills, and they slowly become more intense, and then the lines for the hills become blue.
And wavy,
and even more, like, intense wavy, and then, like, all of a sudden it is water, and they're, like, they're all, like, sitting in the cart like it's a boat.
Yep, trying to stay above water and make sure that they don't actually sink or anything, and it's very imaginative with how creative they get with all their transitions. Because you go from... So when Cook is initially getting transported through the train or, like, via the train tracks, whatever, when he goes to the migrant worker, it's framed as though it's some kind of, like, roller coaster. It's, like, it's all in black, and then, or it's, like, it's in black and then black contrasting and colors. Well, it's not white, but it's, like, there's, like, red and other, like, very, like, eye-popping colors. Almost like the pink elephant scene from Dumbo, where, more in the sense that there's a very strong contrast, where, like, they play up the black background with a bunch of, like, very, very fast movement on the, is, like, a point of view perspective of him going on, like,
Coaster. Well, and then it eventually, the tracks fall apart and it turns into rain. Which was also
It's similar. Really cool. Like, the transitions alone are amazing.
Obviously we cannot...
I want to see these storyboards. Like, that'd be really good. So cool.
So he ends up in a factory... And,
it's a textile factory.
Yeah, so they're processing the cotton.
Yeah.
And then weaving?
Yeah, they've got these gigantic looms that they use for weaving textiles. I think it's either, it must be like, it's, I don't know, like linen or something. Like these enormous rolls that they would use for making clothes or something.
And he ends up, I don't know, he just kind of ends up like following one of the workers home pretty much.
Yeah, well, I think he notices that there's some kind of big business deal thing going on, where it's with, like, the distributor and someone that I assume is either, he's either just, like, some capitalist or he's working with the distributor to end up selling his brand of clothing, where they've got this very kind of, almost, like, kind of Germanic-looking eagle. I feel like that was kind of deliberate. I really get the impression that was deliberate.
So over, there's a few, like, things that, like... we'll get to that, I guess, but...
I mean, well, no, we can get to it now. I mean, like...
Well, no, I don't want to... so there is definitely the several things in the movie reoccur as, like, almost themes or, like, thematic images, almost. And so one of them is, like, this brightly colored rainbow bird.
Yeah.
And the other, which is the opposite, of course, is just a straight black,
heavily fascist kind of...
Yeah, no, it's absolutely, like, a Third Reich bird or eagle...
Yeah,
so.
But what's interesting about the bird of paradise, I guess, for lack of a better term, or is it the bird of paradise? I don't think they call it by name, but it's like with the color scheme and everything, it looks like what you would imagine a bird of paradise might be.
Oh, it reminds me of Pokemon.
Yeah,
it reminds me of Ho.
Yeah, I know. But for those of you that don't know about Pokemon, So there's Oh, no, did we forget to talk about the part with the parade scene? Because that
Which
was
parade?
Before.
Well,
no, do you remember the first one?
Okay, right.
Well, oh, so my God. I forgot how many transitions there are.
There's so much in this movie, guys. It's all visually done.
And the thing is that, like, when you're watching it, when you're actually watching the movie, it's, like, it's very straightforward in that, like, basically a kid misses his father that he's been separated from because the father works in the city. He goes on a journey to find him, but there's so many different transitions.
Yeah, and there's
I
so many...
I kind of started to forget where they happened.
Right,
because,
yeah.
Remember the one where he meets the parade? No, I'm sorry.
That's on the highway.
No, he sees the parade of the people going by, and that's when he gets into the city. That's how he ended up getting back in there.
Is that?
Yeah, because remember after they dissipated? Maybe we should have watched this again.
Yeah, I feel like we maybe should.
Yeah.
Would have benefited from a second viewing.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
Yeah.
I want a more definitive answer for you guys, but, like, we kind of had some trouble. Oddly enough, we had more trouble keeping track of this than in Paprika.
Yeah, right? We've also seen Paprika a few times.
That's true.
We've got a leg up there.
I know it's true, but, like, I would actually, if this hasn't been made into a children's book or something, I think that would be awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, at the very least, I would like to see an art book for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's just like, they had such colorful designs and everything. It was so nice.
Yeah. Well, so he ends up in the city and ends up befriending,
one of the workers at a textile factory who's
working the giant loom.
Yeah, that was him.
He
wears a hat and like a striped shirt or something. He wears a solid orange shirt.
And then a kind of beanie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then,
it almost looked like a Peruvian beanie, but I know it's supposed to be like it's the movies. It says it's based in a mythical country. Everything that they're implying in the movie seems to make it seem like Rio.
Absolutely is meant to be parallel.
It really feels like Rio.
Yeah.
So, not that we've been there, yeah. But, like, but, well, no, but in terms of, like, in terms of, like, the very so, like, obvious divides in, like, the slums and the nicer areas.
Yeah, yeah.
Which they mention in a pretty nice visual comparison later.
Yeah,
in the movie.
so he gets to the city and he, like, I mean, obviously, textile factory worker, not making good money, so he's in the slums and,
something of a tenement, but he has to go so high. So high into the top.
Yeah, he
like,
does.
Remember, like how long they were walking on those stairs? Or, like, there seemed
no,
to be, like,
but I remember
a never-ending...
The
like, it was like an M.C. Escher painting.
Yeah, it was a little bit.
Yeah, but,
So they kind of hang out for a bit.
Well, no, you know, he brings him back to the house, and they both... Like, he puts on this really, bizarre, surreal TV show... That, alright, so the visual medium in the country is everything is, like, either pastel or very bright and colorful.
Yeah, yeah.
Somewhat minimalist. When you get to the city, it's this, like,
it's
garish,
a,
loud collage
it's
of,
absolutely
like,
a mess.
Well, no, it's like a hodgepodge of it looks like they actually took cut-out images from magazines, like lips, eyes, everything, to make these really grotesque caricatures of what magazine pages
yeah, yeah,
are supposed to look like.
Well, and also, you also see that in just, like... the carts and things,
yeah, mm-hmm.
like literally look like they're made of collage, and they're very obviously different from
mm-hmm.
everything else.
Yeah, because everything else looks like it's more organic, and all the like the actual cars, the trains, it all looks like it was made out of like actual collage pieces
right,
of something
exactly.
else. But it's supposed to look as industrial and mechanical as possible.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so the parade thing that we,
yeah.
I
could have sworn that that was the transition after when...
Well, because there's two parades. So there's the parade...
Yeah. I keep forgetting that there's two parades. Oh my god.
We're sorry, guys.
I'm sorry. Maybe we should have watched this again.
So there's two parades. There's a parade, like, early on,
mm-hmm.
I think when he leaves the cotton farm. And it's very short-lived, and it's bright, and it's colorful, and
mm-hmm.
it's very interesting.
A lot of people are wearing masks. He has
yeah.
a lot of fun. I think he gets trapped in a bubble at some point. It's
yes,
just,
he does.
It's just delightful.
It was super cool.
It's also, I think that one itself is included in the trailer, or at least one of the trailers that we saw.
I think so,
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that was
so
the
So then, when
question.
He gets to the city, they directly parallel that with another parade that's very clearly militaristic.
Oh, I wasn't even thinking about that one.
No color... And
again, more fascist imagery.
Yeah,
and
well, it's all
they're essentially goose-stepping.
Yeah, no, they absolutely
yeah.
are. And then there's these weird elephant tanks, which are design-wise super cool.
Yeah, but they're kind of unnerving, a bit creepy.
Yeah.
But
again, that collage style. So, well,
I like the fact that they incorporated a lot of the weaponry that still had animalistic designs because they also had these smaller tanks or smaller artillery that looked like armadillos.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. But, I think it was, like, either, like, the armadillos were tanks and then the elephants were something else. But, like, they also had the same, like, capability. But I don't know. I don't know what you would call that, like, those other weapons.
Yeah, I don't know either.
But,
But, yeah, so there's that military... There's literally, like, a military parade when he gets into the city the first... Initially. And then somewhere in...
Act whatever...
Yeah, man, it gets increasingly more chaotic.
Yeah, like, we're gonna sound like we don't know what we're talking about or that we've been doing drugs. We haven't.
Well, we watched
it's
the
just
movie.
Like,
I
we
promise
watched
you,
the movie. I
and
swear.
We paid attention because you can't not.
Yeah, but it's like because it's just so inviting. But part of it was like there are just certain aspects of the film that like I guess we got a little bit confused by, or like it was just kind of hard. It was bizarrely hard to keep track of.
Well, I
which
think it was,
I wouldn't have
I think,
expected.
Yeah. Well, so like you and I talked about this previously, but like.
Yeah.
The concept of layers within this movie, because you've
yeah.
got to understand the first, like, 2 to 5 minutes is literally zooming out from, like, a cell, except it's repeating patterns
yeah. mm-hmm.
of, like, you know, some okay. designs, and then ultimately it comes out and it's the character or whatever, but...
Yeah, well,
like,
because it looks like a or it's got, like, a kaleidoscopic kind of
right.
open to
except
it.
Except it's just, like, it's zooming out, and each time you zoom out, it's a more complex pattern. It's,
yeah, that's true, yeah.
And so it's, like, it's building layers, and so the movie
and
is...
then that's followed later when he actually gets a kaleidoscope.
Right,
and
yeah.
And he looks through it. Not nearly as complex, but still nice.
Right, but so for me, that's a big, like, theme in this movie is the idea of layers. So, like, it slowly becomes more complex and less easy to follow.
Yeah.
So, like, by the time you get to, like, he doesn't leave the city, but he witnesses that there is a clear economic disparity because there are literally, floating cities.
Yeah, there's there are these tall cranes that look like giraffes or llamas or whatever. I think they're giraffes. They're lifting up these gigantic steel containers like what you would see on the back of a truck. And they're basically air freighting these to these bubbled off cities. Like, if you've ever seen the movie Elysium, you might know what I'm talking about. But it's all right. It was okay. But they're taken to this completely like bubbled in city, like of the uber rich that has like these lush gardens and a lot of nice designer clothes and stuff. And they look down on the other people and everything, where it's like kind of quite a bit on the nose.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So then we get this scene, like this sort of long montage-esque scene of now machines have come in and taken over.
Yeah, they've taken over
all aspects of of cotton production, like essentially clothing production.
Well, yeah, everything's becoming automated,
right?
And,
exactly.
I think they chose to do textiles just or specifically because the Industrial Revolution, one of the first major one of the first major inventions that contributed to the Industrial Revolution was both the cotton gin, which helped to speed up and eliminate some jobs within the textile industry.
Right. Well, and also there is a parallel of, like, I think in Brazil, a lot of forests were destroyed specifically to grow cotton or something.
Yeah.
Because I remember briefly looking that up.
You know, yeah, that is for sure. Well, it's both cotton growing and cattle grazing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because the beef industry, I'm pretty sure, is pretty big in Brazil also. So, but same deal in Texas. So,
yeah,
lots of grazing territory.
Yeah.
So
as that, as we get to that point, the movie just kind of like full tilt goes into it. I mean,
if you're big on anti-capitalism and anti-globalization, this is probably the movie for you.
Yeah. Well, one short review we looked at said, if you want to introduce your primary age child to the idea of hating capitalism, this is it.
You can't get more straightforward than that, like, at all.
Well, yeah, so like, after it's
pretty spot on.
Yeah, so there's also, like, after we see the mechanization of the textile process, we are then suddenly slammed in the face by literally real-life
stock footage, essentially, of
deforestation happening.
Yeah, or it goes between deforestation, brand names, dollar bills, people starving, slums, all this kind of
stuff.
Yeah. Like all of the footage you would expect to kind of follow each other. Which was kind of jarring to me, actually. It was weird to see that, like, just like, because you're getting so engrossed in this environment of, like, these really nice colors, and then, like, how drab and gross and contrasted and miserable everyone seems to be in the city.
Right.
To be, like, just seeing, like, actual footage of, like, dude, get it now, you get it, and I'm like, okay,
I think the point is to jar you, like, to...
It's effective, because you really feel bad for this poor kid that, like, he can't find his dad, and he's, like, in this gigantic, faceless city, like...
Right, yeah, well, there's the scene where he sees a train that looks like the one his father got on.
Yeah.
And then someone who looks like his father walks out, and then an army of them.
Single one of them that looks exactly like his father. But at that point, was he hallucinating, or was it just because they all look like him because they're all doing the same thing that he is? That I wasn't clear about, because I was wondering if it was just a fever dream that he was having. Not a fever dream, but, like, I felt like he might have been hallucinating because he was both so desperate to find his father, and he was probably so frustrated that, like, he just kept trying to go to, like, he needed some semblance of reality where, like, this is where my dad was, why can't I find him?
No, like, I think it's more like a statement of the way in which,
they're just each cookie cutter.
Kind of crushes, like, a lot of that movie is also, like, crushing creativity and originality.
Yeah, that's true.
As seen in the scene where the giant black Third Reich eagle kills the giant rainbow bird.
That's so messed up.
Oh,
that poor bird. Like, and the worst part is that, like, the rainbow bird gave up a pretty good fight, and it's like eventually it's just like there is so it was the it was the backup of the military, the military and the artillery came from the city itself that ended up being his undoing. So. And eventually, Kuka and the textile worker, they have to actually go through, like, the slums, or the garbage, like, the dump of Rio, or the outside of it, to try find... what were they looking for out there?
I have no idea.
I don't remember. I'm sorry.
I don't know. I truly don't remember how they ended up there.
But I know that, it's on some of the stills and everything. Like, we're going to sound so crappy on this one, I'm sorry, but, like... We had trouble trying to keep track of some of this stuff.
Yeah, some of it just got away from us, I think. But
yeah, I mean, okay, wait. So, all right, why were they there again?
I don't know, honestly.
Were they looking for something that he lost? Maybe, like, because
I feel like they just kind of ended up there after the whole textile factory thing happened.
But yeah, because then eventually he manages to get back to his home, I assume. But or like he's older that or.
This is the part of the movie that falls apart for me.
See, guys, this is where we're not really sure.
Like, this is where I think it gets truly ambiguous. So after the giant rainbow bird gets killed, is I think when Kuka just like runs and we see him running, and specifically he runs across like a little, not river, but like a little bit of water.
Yeah.
That we saw previously in the movie when he was back home. Except now it's, like, brown and there's, like, a tin can or something sitting in it.
Yeah.
And so he... I guess he goes back home. But then there's this weird scene in which, like, we see...
He goes to, like, another farm, doesn't he? Or, like...
No, because he definitely is, like, on a hill by his house. And we see him, like, older as, like, a teenager...
Yeah.
Wearing, like, a solid orange shirt, and then he gets a little beanie and he puts it on his head, and he looks exactly like the factory worker that he was living with in the city.
Well, then, presumably, he got it as a gift from him, because he also got a gift from the migrant worker, didn't he? Well, no, he had the dog with him for a while.
The dog followed him for a little while. Well, but then we see, like, I guess what's an older version of him getting on the training road in the city.
Yeah.
And then... the migrant worker walks into what is clearly, like, his house abandoned. Like,
yeah,
no
completely
one lives there,
desolate, yeah.
And he pulls out the photo that Kuka had taken with him when he initially left home.
Yeah.
And, like, pins it on the wall or something.
Yeah.
So, I'm not sure what's going on there.
How long was he gone? I mean, like, are we to assume that he'd been gone for, like, 10 years? Like...
I don't know.
I really don't know, because, and plus, the thing that makes Kuka, like, somewhat of an unreliable narrator is because he has such a vivid imagination, and the way, especially the way that he interacts with people, which is half the reason, I think it's most of the reason that he gets so much help from the, like, all these different people that he meets up with is because he's so playful, and he's so energetic, and he cares so much about, like, enjoying his environment and finding fun and everything, and it's just, it's weird because I'm not 100% sure exactly what was real and what was him just being a kid. I don't know. I mean, like, it's like...
I guess to some extent. Like, I don't know.
Well, I mean, like that's the impression that I got. But I think that's... It's played up as part of, like... It's part of the motif of the film, isn't it? Because, I mean, like, even despite, like, all, like, the city stuff that's surrounding him, he still manages to find, like, livelihoods and everything.
Right, well, yeah, that's true. I mean, like, we see the, like, with the rainbow poncho.
Yeah. That was made by the textile worker. Like, he had apparently been going into the factory secretly when it was closed.
Right, and, like, making
to go work
this,
on it.
This huge rainbow poncho, which is really cool.
Which is really cool. I love when Kuka puts his head through and he looks like, yeah, look at me, world.
But I don't know, like, that's the one thing that bothers me is I'm like, so is he supposed to be all the characters, or is, like...
Or, like, are each of these characters parts of his personality, or, like, they're supposed to be reflections of his family?
Or is it just that he met these people as children and then... When he grew up,
and he's just reflecting.
Happened to end up being in similar positions, like.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because it seems like everything's supposed to be taking place in a present tense. So, can we infer that it's him as an adult later? Like, yeah, like, exactly. Yeah, like, exactly. It comes back, where it's like, I really don't know, guys.
Like, I'm very much in,
yeah,
in
like,
struggle
we,
with this.
We, I don't... Oh, it's like, do we really just miss something? Or, like, I don't...
No, I don't think we did.
I
think it's just he... that part is ambiguous.
Yeah, I mean, like, well...
Amidst everything else.
I mean, like, you can kind of sense a very clear point wherein you're starting to wonder, wait, what? Like, I think I can almost pinpoint the exact part wherein, like, I'm not 100% sure what's real and what's not anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's just because Kuka, at that point, when he's actually in the city, if he's just kind of, like, trying to make the best of what he has, or if this is really what's happening to him. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
Like, I don't know. I really don't. Like, I kind of like the fact that it was ambiguous, but at the same time, it pisses me off. Well, because I like knowing for sure. Like, I don't know. It's not that I'm not imaginative with my movie watching. It's just sometimes when the movie is so imaginative that you have to try to put some grounding to it that I'm like, okay, wait, what?
Yeah, no, I mean, I've definitely had those moments. And,
well, I mean, it's kind of like having a 7-year-old tell you a story wherein, like, they've got so many great stories
all,
to it.
It's all
but it's
over
all
place.
Over the place. Like, it's like, wait, okay, wait, what did you do with the bird? No, calm down. Where's the bird?
Calm down. Back to the bird.
No, back to the bird. Well, you're not done with this line yet. Yeah, I mean, like, okay, like, maybe we should just get more into, like, did we like it, and did we think that it was good with its message, and the way that it conveyed the information?
Yeah, I mean, we can sort of jump into, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did too. I was very impressed by how dynamic and changing all the environments were. Like, the transitions were some of the best I think I've ever seen
in any movie, like,
animated or
like
live action.
Match cuts and
yeah.
everything, man, just beautiful.
I mean, like, it's for me, it's on par with, like, in terms of fluidity, like an Edgar Wright movie, but just, like, like, the timing
weirdly,
is just...
I was watching Hot Fuzz today.
I can't bet you were. Which is my favorite.
It's so good.
But
that's another good example of that good, tight editing.
No, yeah, it's, like, and the fact that it always keeps contributing to the storytelling, too, wherein, like, it had the exact same effect in The Boy in the World.
Right,
and,
yeah.
Like, yeah, where,
being
like...
being able to tell, like...
Like, the transitions are there for both explaining, like, the characters' relationships or what they're going through, and it's not just, like, immediately cutting to some... Like, two people are talking in a kitchen, cut to a school or something. Where it's, like, they're... Like, the characters themselves are incorporated into the transitions.
Right, right. Well, and it's... I mean, like... Never underestimate the power of visual storytelling.
Yeah, for sure.
You know? So, like...
And especially don't say that cartoons are for children, because this one, I feel like it's kind of meant more for adults.
Yeah, it definitely, I think it's definitely
really feels more like it's just a criticism.
Something of a wake-up call to adults.
Yeah.
You know, now as the efficacy of that, who knows? I mean,
at least they're trying. I will give them all the brownie points for that. Like, do you think that the message itself was done in a subtle way, or do you think it was a little too ham-fisted? Because if you grew up in the 90s, I'm sure you're very accustomed to a bunch of environmental movies coming out roughly that time, which, for better or worse, had very strong... They had just a really strong environmental thing going on for a long time.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's still an issue.
This is true, but, I mean... We were actually talking about this earlier, how environmental issues are a very big theme in a lot of Hayao Miyazaki films.
Yeah. Well, like, I mean, you've got Princess Mononoke.
Oh, Nausicaa.
Nausicaa.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one.
Seen Nausicaa? It's like, that's one of the main points of it, wherein there are certain parts of their world that have gotten poisoned by industry.
Oh, yeah, okay,
so,
yeah.
Or, I mean,
pretty...
and also Princess Mononoke.
Yeah, Princess Mononoke is obvious. So, yeah, I mean, like, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love Hayao Miyazaki, but yeah, when he pulls no punches when he's talking environmentalism.
No, not in the slightest.
And I don't think that this movie does either. I think it's less predictable.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think that's fair.
It's absolutely powerful and moving, and it definitely, you know.
I mean, you definitely get the general gist of, like, after a certain point, you're like, oh, okay, I see that this is it's a criticism on industrialization and
capitalism
and mass deforestation, which is great. I mean, like, and I'm glad that it's mentioning, especially the fact that it comes from a Brazilian film company.
Yeah, well, and I think that's one of the reasons that it's so powerful and so...
Because it's so much more personal to the director.
Yeah, I feel like it's probably a very personal issue for him, which is good. I mean, like, absolutely...
Whereas, I'd seen Rio 2, and that was also a part of the message in that movie was also about deforestation, but it didn't feel as authentic because it wasn't coming from, like...
kind of personalized place?
Yeah, I mean, well, I don't personally know the director.
Yeah, obviously we don't.
Why would I? No, but, I mean, I don't know how much of, like, it could be a very personal story in that, like, maybe his family or his relatives were... Like, this ended up affecting their livelihood, where they could have been farmers or sharecroppers or whatever you want to call it. And the deforestation and industrialization that was affecting Brazil could have destroyed their livelihoods, where they had to move into the city. So
yeah,
he's doing
so
that as his outlet for those frustrations.
Yeah, but all that aside, there is something, to me at least, there's something very personal about The Boy in the World.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's just me reading into it. Maybe that's me being romantic, but
no, I get that impression quite a bit, actually. Yeah, it seems like it. Otherwise, we wouldn't feel as. I mean, well, I think you can always tell really good storytelling because of how quickly you get invested in what happens to your characters.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you can watch other movies where, like, you really just don't care.
Yeah.
Where you're on autopilot, it's like, I know this is the person I'm supposed to care about, but if there either aren't stakes established or we don't know what their relationships are or how this could affect them or whatever, we don't really care. Or even if it does affect them, if we don't like the character, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But I immediately like Kuka just because of he's just so cute.
He's a cute little fella,
he's
and he's
cute,
clearly,
man.
Like, very,
he's very devoted to his family, and he's very, like... And, like,
yeah.
He seems like the type of kid that is just... He's just got an irrepressible spirit, which I like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's very likable and it's very fun.
Yeah.
I forgot what I was talking about. But yeah, I mean, I like the movie a lot, and I think it's a good... I don't think it's done in, like, a ham-fisted manner. I think the environmentalism of it, because, like we were saying, like we said, layers.
Yeah.
Not to sound like I'm quoting Shrek here, but layers.
No, please don't. Is it really? why would you lie to them? I agree with Robbie's stance on, like, the fact that it's not, like, it's not immediately laid out in one really awkward line of, like they did this, like, they don't care about anything but money. It's like...
Right,
it's,
yeah.
Because I've seen movies before where it's, like, immediately when they do that, it's like, look, dude, you had me going for a while, but now I'm just, like, I don't, like... I don't know. I think it's a good move to make your audience think.
Yeah.
Like, but you don't want it to be so much that you're thinking for them, and that they're not allowed to discover this stuff as they go through it.
Well, I mean, I think that goes into, like, the whole concept of, like, never talk down to your audience.
Yeah, then anything with an environmental message, you were kind of treading that line, wherein and some people can be kind of stubborn about it, where it's like, yeah, I know that this is a thing that I should care about, or that we have to do more about this, where, you remember I don't want to say fad, but it kind of was back in 2008, where, like, everything was like, go green, like, go eco-friendly.
Oh, yeah, they had, like, they had the...
It was
they had
a
the green,
huge thing.
They had, like,
a
green week
on like,
NBC or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, or whatever it was. Like, I remember seeing WALL-E, and they're, like, a lot of the marketing campaigns that they had for WALL-E incorporated, like, going green, or go eco-friendly, or this DVD was made with 70% recycled products, and even though, like, despite all the other, like, toys and stuff that they had made and everything, they were still trying to, like, push that kind of...
Yeah, right.
That kind of agenda, and it feels... because it feels insincere when you're... It's just like, come on, guys, really? Like, we know that you're making a bunch of money off this,
yeah.
Like, all that.
So,
And Disney Pixar had the same or had a similar criticism with remember when Finding Nemo came out and the sale of clownfish exploded at pet stores, but it was apparently so bad that they ended up killing off a lot of the stock because people weren't taking care of them properly.
Of course.
Because they're saltwater fish. It's not like if you buy a guppy, you have to like carefully manage your pH balances. You can only have so much in there. They have to have anemones and all that other stuff.
That goes into a lot of like. Yeah. Pet care and how we, like, pet care is not well educated.
Well, I mean, and because you've seen similar things get incorporated in other kids' movies where, like, say if they feature a bunny or something and it then, like, bunny sales will go up, but then people don't want to take care of them. So, like, it's, I think Robbie and I both have the similar criticisms about if you've ever seen, like, Easter marketing where people will get their kids bunnies or chicks or
something
as part of their things. Just don't do it. It's, you might think that you're being cute. You're not. You're going to hurt those animals.
No,
and if you can't take care of them, please don't. Like, it's just, if you know that it's not going to be fair to them and that your kids are eventually going to stop caring, please don't do it.
Yeah, if you're giving a live animal to a small child as a gift, you need to stop right now.
Like, if you've either planned it out to the point of, like, you've arranged that this is a proper pet for them to have and that you know that you're going to be able to take good care of it and that you've got your environment set up, you've got the cage, you've got food, you've got enough alfalfa, everything... And, like, then, okay, but, like, if you're doing enough research to actually have it, then it's fine, but if it's supposed to be, like, some kind of throwaway trinket that you put into an Easter basket, please don't do that.
Yeah.
Because it's really unfair, and frankly, it's pretty cruel to do that to an animal, because if you eventually release them, which you might, if you haven't put a lot of work into it.
People have absolutely done that, and guess what? That animal, like, I mean,
they will get
right.
killed almost immediately.
Yeah, I mean, like, circle of life, whatever,
but
at the end of the day, you took a domesticated animal and you put it in the wild, guess what? That doesn't work.
Yeah, look, even if they're going to get eaten one way or another, it's not fair to, like, end up buying an animal like that and not give them the proper home that they deserve.
Right.
Or that they should be having if you're buying them as a pet. Like, you can't you can't just get bored of it. It's not like, I mean, I don't know. Like, some people are flipping like that with goldfish, but it's still a living thing. Like,
yeah,
even
if
it's a goldfish.
Goldfish is kind of weird in that. People expect, no, they do. But.
Yeah, it's like, don't just put them in, like, a fishbowl or something. It's not like a betta where they'll be okay. Like, goldfish are surprisingly very needy. I've had some before. You have to have filters, all that other stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But this is kind of off the rails.
Yeah, we've gone way off the rails
to
here.
Be fair, we were trying to stay on the rails as much as we could for a while.
I think we did pretty well.
I think we did fine.
Tony Stark
you know
looking at a burned down city.
I don't like your attitude.
Well.
No, not you. I was stressing the people that we can't hear yelling at us.
Imaginary
but I'm like, get to the point.
Back on topic.
Come on. What am I not paying you for? Yeah, so, anyway. Kids movies, man. They sure do like talking about the environment. And I didn't really want to do a lot of compare and contrast stuff, so I'll try to hold back.
Yeah.
But, like the whole thing of, like, where if it's incorporated into a story that's already compelling enough, like, say, like, this movie or WALL-E, I think that it works fine. Because you want to, I think that you can have an environmental message, but if it's the main focal point of everything, it's going to feel ham-fisted regardless of how good your story is. The reason I like this story is because it's like a hero's journey story in that he's going out to find his father in order to be reunited and, like, he can get him away from the city, which is the world that, as far as he knows, is basically jeopardizing the family life that he had.
Right.
So, the fact that there's a lot of deforestation going around is incidental, but all of their livelihood is tied around growing. Like, it's tied around farming, it's tied around... It's tied around horticulture, I guess.
Right, yeah, well, that's the thing I had written a note on that I actually understand. No, because I'm looking at one, and it says the talking and its incompatibility. I have no idea what that means.
What, was the talking and the incompatibility, was that just the fact that it was muddled backwards Portuguese?
I have no idea. I have no idea what I meant when I wrote that down.
I remember you writing it. You seem like you're really, like, yeah.
I had
like,
ideas,
really got
man,
it.
And I have no idea.
I don't know.
I have no idea with that particular note. Or I said migrant friend separation. I assume I want to talk about that scene, but guess what? I don't remember it well enough.
I mean, we kind of did.
We went over it enough, I think. But, no, one thing I noticed, going back to the horticultural thing, is there's almost, in that movie, it's almost ubiquitous that there's a lot of, like, very small contained gardens. Like,
yeah.
They mm-hmm. have, like, even in the initial home, like, even though they're clearly trying to be farmers, they have, like, a little...
Oh, they've got, like, a little windowsill.
Yeah, they've got a little windowsill one. So does the guy in the city.
That's true.
And I feel like... And there were other ones I noticed, but I noticed that there were those two, and... It's another kind of motif within the movie.
Well, plus it seemed like the only people that were really gardening for fun were either, like, the workers that they had there or his family. Because when you contrast that with the people that are up in, like, the hive thing, they don't really do that. Like, they're surrounded by greenery, but it's never shown that any of them are actually working or putting any thought to it. So, right.
So, yeah, I really wish I knew what that meant.
I don't know. Really, I don't know.
It may have had something to do with...
I really liked how... I think there's just something about the design that they went for all the characters, and that they made them all look very... not childish, childlike. In that, like, they all like look like... They look like a drawing like that you would see in, like,
a coloring like a book
or something. Yeah.
Yeah, it does kind of... I think I was reading that somewhere. It has, like, a coloring book feel. But,
yeah, it does.
But I love that.
Well, because the character of Kuka, he's super, like, very simplistically, almost minimalistically designed. That he's just, like, got, like, a big old oval egghead. And then some dots for eyes. And, like, three hairs sticking out. He's wearing, like, is it a red and white striped shirt? Something like that?
Orange
and, like, shorts, I think. Yeah, whatever it is. But you know, like, I mean, like, he just looks like an average kid's drawing if they're, like, maybe six or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Actually, maybe four. It might have been, like, a little...
Yeah, I have no idea how long. Yeah, but, yeah.
So I mean, it looked like a child's drawing. Like, primary school drawing. So.
Yeah, yeah. I like it, though. It lent itself to, I'm going to use a term that's not accurate here, but...
It's okay, go for it.
It's called magical realism, and it's this idea of sort of blending, you know, sort of, like, of blending the real world with some fantastic elements.
Mm-hmm.
It's just outside of the realm of possibility. And it's a genre of fiction that was, I believe, sort of pioneered by, Gabriel Garcia Marquez, who, when I was watching this movie, I was, like, initially...
You were just immediately, like, reminded of...
I was like, wow!
Wait, what was the story that he'd written that reminded you of? There was one in particular that you mentioned.
Yeah, well, I've only read the one book, which is 100 Years of Solitude, which is so good.
I've heard that's excellent.
Yeah, it's very good. Very long.
Yeah.
I mean,
but it's worth it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely, it's one of my favorite books that I had to read for college. So yeah, I don't know. I don't really know if there's anything else I have on this one.
Yeah, I don't really think I have any other finishing thoughts. I would probably like to check out any other films that he's done. I mean, like, I don't know how similar they are to this, but
yeah. Well, I think he. I don't know. I don't really know.
But I thought it was very. I think it was very. It was just pleasant. I don't know. I mean, like, well, there were parts of it, like, I guess my only real complaint is that I thought some of the stuff that they used with the actual live footage was a bit much.
Yeah, I don't know, like...
Or it's like, I get what they were going for, but after a certain point I was like...
It did, you know what, I feel like that scene went on too long.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like they were trying to hammer it in a little bit too much. It's like, guys, like, we can't not know what you're talking about, come on.
Like, we get it. And I mean, that's insensitive.
I don't really think it's insensitive in that, like, it's something that it's kind of inescapable. So it's like, it's something that we can't really pretend like we're not aware about it.
Yeah. Everyone knows that this is a thing that's going on.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's just, it's one of those, uncomfortable truths that people just don't like talking about. I mean, it's like, there are countless other news stories that are in a similar fashion, but it's like, we get it, and we're empathetic towards it, but there's only so much worrying that we can do in a day.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, like, that's gonna sound, that I really hope that doesn't come across as callous, but it's just, if you try to watch news in the United States, it's dismal. Like, we just ended up watching PBS news instead, because we needed to stop hearing how many child murders were happening in Chicago.
There's one
every day, and after a certain point, I'm just like, I can't take this anymore. And I know that there's a lot of ugliness in nasty people and nasty things that happen in the world, but after a certain point, you just get so burnt out and feeling miserable all the time that you just
we're at that point with school shootings, which is terrifying.
Yeah, like the
literally
fact
on
that,
the news, they've been like,
where it's like
another day,
yeah.
another school shooting. You're like,
no, like
you're not freaking out about that.
And the fact
that
that's almost becoming a soundbite is the thing that really bothers me. We're in like, it's so common that, like, they just talk about it as casually as someone would about, like, oh, can you go pick up some milk? And it's like, oh, there was another school shooting.
Like,
or,
oh,
there was another teen that was gunned down in the city. It's like, oh, great, awesome. Like, I don't think that we're cynical. I think we're just kind of fed up after a certain point.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to feel sad all the time, man. Like, there's still some really awesome people out there in the world.
Well,
and
I think maybe that's why he... I think that's maybe why he chose to go so just like, this is it,
mm-hmm.
you know, with that scene. I mean, it's, like I said, it feels a little gratuitous.
Yeah, to an extent it feels gratuitous, but...
Like, it just feels like it went on all too long, and that's...
Yeah, I mean, but, like, that's just kind of, meh. I mean, you could watch any other special or documentary on National Geographic or on Netflix or something and get the same gist. So.
Yeah, so I don't know.
I think it's like that might have just been the most clear-cut way that they decided to kind of go with it. So,
yeah.
Which is fine. I mean, it's alright. Like, I think that's probably my biggest criticism about it. Other than that, I thought the imagery that they had was very, very...
Yeah.
I just thought it was
visual.
So... Like it was visually stunning. It was well done.
Yeah.
And I thought like the use of incorporating animals into the shapes of the actual artillery. That's the second time I've messed up saying artillery.
That's fine.
Because I started saying military and artillery at the same time.
Martillery.
Martinery. Yeah.
A significantly better concept.
Yep. No, I'm not against the idea of it.
Yeah.
But no. Yeah, like, just the incorporation of animals into the artillery, I thought was really clever.
Yeah, well, I think it sort of lends itself to that sort of childlike, you know, style of it.
Yeah, also the idea of, like, blurring the lines between those are just supposed to be symbols that are incorporated into the natural world itself, and when they're brought into the military for such, or when they're brought into the city for such a use, that it seems kind of, oh man.
Yeah.
Like, it's, yeah.
It,
Well, because, like, to contrast that before, we'd seen that incorporated into some of the masks of the parade performers in the earlier part of the
movie. Yeah, that's right.
Like, there was one that was a bird that I think was supposed to be similar to the bird, the rainbow bird that ended up getting killed. And, some of the, were there really that many other animals in there, aside from the dog? Not really.
No, yeah, there were very few. I think there were only those guys as the, like, the dog and the two birds were the only, like, real animals we saw, actually.
Yeah, true.
Though we do see other children, which, yeah, again, references that it's Rio.
Yeah, they just happen to be orphans living in the slums and in the dump.
Yeah.
So, yay.
Super dog.
I would still like to go to Rio at some point, but, like, I'm kind of a wuss in that I'd been to a part of Cambodia before that kind of messed me up, because I just don't like seeing kids get exploited like that.
That's fair.
I mean, like, call me kooky, but somehow I find that really messed up.
Yeah, somehow I find the exploitation of children to be messed
up. Oddly enough, I'm kind of against child endangerment and child exploitation.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Just call me a bleed-not liberal, but...
But, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's
pretty
much
like,
what we're gonna...
Sorry if this one seems a little bit strange.
Yeah,
guys,
we're
but
a
like,
little over the place.
I would still highly recommend you see the movie. It's like, I guess it's, to be honest, it's kind of similar to our view in Paprika in that it's one of those movies where the story, it's still linear, but it's better experienced if you just watch it.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
there's
absolutely.
Only so much that we can go through and actually describe to you.
Right. Well, and again, it's that same thing where, like, I mean, obviously, you know, it's a visual medium, but, like...
The transitions, while great, are still confusing.
Yeah,
so.
Well, and also, I mean, like, it's all done through visual storytelling.
Yes,
dialogue,
true.
Right? So, us describing it to you is not really doing it justice.
It's not as succinct as it probably could be.
Yeah.
So.
Because we can't, obviously, by talking about it, really... Yeah. Give you those visuals.
But luckily for you, we were able to find a copy of the movie online. I would recommend that if you can find it on iTunes or Amazon or something, that you would go through there first. But if necessary, you can try doing a search for it. At the very least, there are trailers online that you can check out.
Yeah.
But
I had some trouble finding it. I didn't actually find it, but Tracy
I sent him a link.
Yeah, Tracy was able to find a good link. So.
But yeah. But no, yeah, it's I would still recommend seeing it. I'm sorry that this wasn't as specific and as focused as some of our other reviews, but
yeah,
it was just man, I really regret not rewatching the movie because there was some certain stuff that I wasn't 100% on. But yeah, it's okay.
Yeah,
it happens.
Sorry, guys.
Sorry, buddy. But it's okay. I think next week's review will be a little bit more straightforward.
Yeah.
We've got...
I think we're probably going to watch something a little more straightforward.
I've got a question for you, though, that I'm going to put on here right now. Would you like to just do the month of May as, like, all movies that are either done by Spanish directors or feature Spanish storylines? Because the reason I say that is because... Robbie and I will probably end up watching Road to El Dorado next.
Yeah.
Even though it's not necessarily as obscure as some of these other movies, but it's obscure enough to the point where
we're comfortable enough making it a part of our show.
Basically. And we also love it as much as the Emperor's New Groove, which, as we mentioned during that episode, was released at the same time that Road to El Dorado was, roughly.
Was.
Do you remember that? Yeah, isn't that crazy? So... I think.
Oh, wait, that actually works because I've got another movie in my Netflix queue that is.
Oh, do you really?
I think it's probably in Spanish.
Sweet.
But I've definitely been meaning to watch it.
Oh, also, Robbie went to school for both English and Spanish, so.
Well, I minored in Spanish.
Yeah.
By the way, don't talk to me in Spanish. I am regretfully awful at it, even though it's probably my favorite language.
But you also haven't really used it in a while.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
That's the unfortunate truth.
But whatever. It's okay. But I think that might be kind of an interesting concept thing.
Yeah, I think we could maybe do that.
But I think, like, especially with Spanish cinema, I think that's one thing that we both either have not really explored that much, or since we're really into Western animation, we're really into anime, but we haven't really gone into, I guess, like, certain areas of European animation.
Yeah, well,
so,
I mean, like,
I'd like to go into some French animation,
this
too.
This is Latin American.
Yeah.
But we should absolutely do French. I mean, there's...
Wait, what's the other one?
Hmm?
What's the one you have in your Netflix queue? Do you remember off the top of your
head? La Leyenda de something.
Neat.
De la...
Wait, there was...
Shoot, I don't remember.
There was another one I wanted to look into also. I think it's also either Latin American or from Spain or Portugal or something. But,
I mean, if nothing
you
else...
You know, one of those. But
you know, if nothing else, we can always default to Book of Life.
This is true. This is very true. Because
we
love Book of Life.
I would go so far as to say it's probably in my top 10 anime movies.
Is it really?
I love that movie.
It's pretty great. But, yeah, I think if we could do... Yeah, you know, we just do that.
We might.
And that'd be fun.
That's probably what we're going to go for.
Yep, I think
so
we'll do that.
If you're a fan of that idea, let us know.
Please let us know if you've made it this far.
Yeah, if you...
You're just like, these guys don't know what they're talking about. Like, no, we do, but we don't.
That's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. You know what? We don't pretend like we... You know what? We don't pretend like we have all the answers, okay? So, you know, just, you know?
Yeah. Just go ahead.
Stan, okay?
Stan, yeah.
Stan, okay? But yeah, I think, yeah, I like that idea. Let's do the month of May as Spanish month, or as Latin American month.
Well, yeah, Latin American or Spanish.
Yeah.
Let's
get into
that.
Let's do that. I think that's a great idea. So yeah, if you're really into... Not quite painterly, but, like, just very, I don't know. Very,
I guess the best thing, simplistic.
Simplistic.
Simplistic
minimalist, sort of.
Yeah, I was going to say minimalist.
Even though, okay, like, the characters themselves are fairly minimalist. I cannot talk today. I'm sorry. It's been a weird Sunday. But, no, if you're into character design that's very minimalistic, but goes crazy bonkers with the backgrounds, I would highly recommend you check
this out.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, if you love music, this soundtrack is killer.
Oh, yeah. No,
it's
absolutely.
It's so fun.
I mean,
like,
I gotta give it up. They did really well.
They did great.
We were watching earlier, we found, you can go look on the official site for the movie.
There's some making of stuff on there.
Yeah, yeah. So there was like a scene of them working on some of the music, which is kind of neat.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, obviously, we don't understand it because we don't. No,
we don't speak Portuguese. Not yet. We're getting there, but
one day maybe.
Yep. Someday Portugal. Once they conquer the world. So, I meant Brazil. I meant Brazil.
Well, it, yeah, whatever.
Well, I mean, so, I guess they speak it both places.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. All right, so once Portugal and Brazil merge into a superpower and engulf the rest of us like the next modern Pangea that they are, we will be ready. Because we will know Portuguese and we'll try to bargain for our lives.
That's the plan.
Yeah, basically.
Get on board, people.
We can make some mean tortas. Say that much.
I do love cooking.
So yeah, I would highly recommend that you check it out.
Absolutely.
Like, great minimalist character design, beautiful backgrounds, very interesting incorporation of collage.
Just a, just an all-around...
It's just...
Top-notch soundtrack.
Yeah, oh man. It's, the story can get a little bit confusing, or at least it did for us. But if you don't look away, like,
yeah,
just imagine you're watching Game of Thrones, so you don't miss anything, and you'll be fine.
Yeah. You just gotta be in the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a movie that you can just kind of have on like, as background noise, because you will not know what's going on eventually.
Yeah.
Like, in that way, it is pretty similar to Paprika, wherein
you've gotta be in.
But you need, it's a better experience if you're just in it, completely devoted to it, undivided attention. So, which is, I know it's harder to come by, but seriously, just devote a little bit more time to this one.
Yeah.
Plus, this movie is wicked short, too, so.
No, it's not. Huh. It's regular hour and a half movie.
It's an hour and 20 minutes.
Oh, hour and 20. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, 10 minutes.
Yeah. It's shorter. Okay, Robbie. Okay. But, yeah. Man, I'm in a sassy mood today. I'm a bit of a sassafras today. I think I got too much sun. I burnt my shoulders out biking today. No, I actually did. I literally did.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I kind of did.
You guys cannot tell how rich she is.
No. Bridget remarked on it earlier, so I was like, and then I got self-conscious, and I'm like, oh, why didn't I know this before? But now I do. So, it's okay. It'll tan up nice. Yep. I tan up like a German school marm.
That's... Anywho.
Oh.
All right.
Oh, look at all this dead air.
All right.
But no, yeah, so check it out. I believe that you'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
I think it's impossible to not like Kuka.
He's so cute in my
He's just
man.
So
he's
charming.
Fun, so.
But, yeah. So right. Look into it. And, yeah. That does it for this week. We will be back with you next week to review...
Something.
As soon as we get a lineup figured out. Well, you've already heard the three movies that we might go into. But,
yeah.
We'll I think, you know what, and, we'll mix it up, because we want to keep you guys on your toes. So there.
And that. And that's the bottom line! Alright.
Too many Stone Cold references in one week. That was a good Snapchat, though.
Alright.
Bye,
guys.
But thank you, guys. Thanks for listening. Oh, and if you want to contact us on either, or on Twitter, you can contact me at @TCTroush. That's @TC... Sorry, T is in Tom, C is in Cat, T is in Tom again, R is in Rabbit, A is in Apple, U is in Unicorn, S as in Sam, C as in Cat, H is in House, T as in Tom. My God, my name is long.
Imagine trying to do mine.
Yeah. It would be,
there's a reason I don't use it for a lot
I
of
imagine it would probably be like watching that, you remember that one gag from The Simpsons where Rainier Wolfcastle is doing the advertisement for the sausage or the hot dog company, where he's like, my Botfest has a first name, it's H-E-M-E-R,
oh, yeah,
my Botfest has a second name, it's H-A-N-I-Q-S-E-R-V, like, and he goes on for like 20 seconds.
I remember that, oh my God.
Oh, I love that one.
And I'm at @lobster_writer on Twitter. And I think lobster99 on Instagram.
Yeah, you're lobster99. Oh, yeah, my Instagram is the same as my name. So if you didn't get that spelling, rewind about 15 seconds and you'll probably have it. No, sorry, 30 seconds.
Yeah, whatever.
No, about 45. But yeah. Time is relative.
Time is illusion.
Nothing is real. All right. Yep, that does it for us, guys. So thank you for listening, and we will hear... You will hear from us next week. Thank you.
Bye.
Meninos, menino, mundo, mundo, meninos, menino, mundo, mundo. de pedra, menino microscópico. O peito gela, onde o bem é utópico. É o novo tópico, meu bem. A vida nos trópicos não tá fácil pra ninguém. É o mundo nas costas e a dor nas custas. Filhas opostas, lacrata ofusca. Fumaça, buzinas e a busca. Faíscas na fogueira, bem de rua, chamusca. Sono tipo slow bro, onde vou, vou, leio, vou, vou. Até esqueço quem sou, sou. Calçada, barracos e o bonde. A voz ecoa sóis, mas ninguém responde.